You know what it is. That's right. It's time to talk money with your money nerd and financial coach. Now, tighten those purse strings and open those ears. It's the Money Talk with Tiff podcast.
Hey, hey, and welcome to another episode of Tiffany's Take, where I answer your money questions right here on the podcast. So if you want your question answered, go to www.moneytalkwitht.com/ask Tiffany, and I'll be more than happy to answer for you. So for today's episode, first of all, I apologize for not getting a Tuesday episode out to you all. I was actually on vacation. I just got back this week and I had a ball. My birthday was also Friday, March 15th. So happy birthday to me. but that's why I've been a little ghost. So I apologize because I know you all be waiting for your episodes. But that is one reason why I wanted to do this episode today, which I talk about travel tips. So sometimes people are like, dang, Tiffany, like you just be traveling and, you know, got all this going on and nobody will hear about it until I come back. I do that purposefully because I don't want people to be like, oh, she gone, you know, whatever. I'd rather wait till I come back to do all the posting. And so usually when I come back, they're like, dang, I didn't even know you were gone. And I like it like that. But I also travel on a budget and I have found a way where I can enjoy travel and, you know, do as much traveling as I want. And it doesn't get me off track from my financial goals. So let's just hop right into some things that I do. So first and foremost, I budget. And I know y'all are probably like, Tiffany, why do you always talk about budgeting? Because it has such a huge part in my life. So for this trip, I went to Jamaica and I thought about this back in January. So one big milestone that happened for me, my divorce was finalized on January 8th. So after, how many years? From December 2021 to January 8th of 2024, I was going through the divorce process. It's a very long and arduous process, but nevertheless, it was finalized this year. And so I was like, I really want to do something to kind of celebrate that. But then also I'm like, I haven't been able to travel since I just had the baby and everything. And so I was like, I really want to do something for these occasions. So I decided that I wanted to go to Jamaica. Now, when I decided that, I said, okay, Tiffany, how much would you need to make this trip a reality? And so being that I've been to Jamaica before, I knew that I could get away with probably about $1,000 to $1,500 and make it do. Now, you might be thinking, well, Tiffany, I've been to Jamaica and it cost me way more than that. One of my travel tips is I love being with the locals. Okay. So I'm not a resort person. I prefer to be in an Airbnb or even sometimes in a hotel that's not resort based. And that's one of the ways that I save money. So for this trip, I was able to find an Airbnb. I have a connection down there. Shout out to Cody. If you ever go to Negril, let me know. I'll give you his information because he can tell you where to go, what to do, how to do things. And so he found me some accommodations where we only paid $1,000 for 11 days. Okay, so that's about $100 a night. You might be thinking, well, Tiffany, that's about how much it costs here in the US. That's what I'm saying. Like, instead of thinking domestic travel, start thinking of international travel. And so that was a good deal. Then what happened was it was a few of us going. So that's another travel tip. If you are planning to go somewhere, see if there's other people that want to go with you. When I came up with this idea, I was like, I want to go, you know, in March during spring break when I'm taking a break from classes. So I reached out to my aunt and a few other people. I'm like, hey, do y'all want to go at this time? They decided that they did. And so we were able to split those accommodations three or four ways. And so if you're still with me doing the math, if you take $1,000 and you're dividing it by four, we only paid $250 a piece for 11 days in an Airbnb. So that's why I say it's very beneficial to look at Airbnbs, Verbos, get in contact with someone locally if you know someone locally that can help you get some deals. So once that happened, I said, okay, accommodations are covered. I still have quite a bit in my budget. So now I can figure out, you know, what the plane tickets and everything else looks like. So I started looking on Google Flights. So that's how I usually book most of my flights, and I'll go into some more tips, but I start there. Okay. So I go to Google Flights. If you never used it, it's where you can search most of the airlines. Southwest is not on there, but you can search most of the airlines. They have price graphs. You can see a calendar, and it tells you how much the flights will be on certain days and things like that. And so that's how I plan my trips too. So I'm kind of flexible with the dates for the most part. And I look at the calendar to see what's the most affordable time to go. And so once I did that, I started on Google Flights, searched up the dates that I was looking for. It was a favorable price, round trip. So another strategy that I use with Google Flights too is sometimes it might be more beneficial to book one-way trips versus round trip trips. So that's what happened this time. I looked up the round trip price. I was like, okay, wrote it down. Then I also did one-way trips. So one way going from the US to Jamaica and then Jamaica back to the US. And it was about $50 cheaper to do the one-way trips. And so that's how I booked my flight as well this time. So keep that in mind as you're looking at your flight. See if it's better to do round trip or one way, because sometimes, you know, it just depends on where you're going, when you're going and the location. So keep that in mind. Then also another thing I did on Google Flights was I always pick multiple from airports. So I live here in North Carolina. The closest airport to me is GSO, which is Greensboro High Point Triad Area Airport. But I also put in RDU, which is Raleigh. And I also put in CLT, which is Charlotte, because I don't mind taking the trip down there to fly out if it's going to be significantly cheaper. And I say significantly cheaper because you also have to keep in mind, if you drive out of your city, you may have to pay to park your car and things like that. And I know just from experience that Raleigh and Charlotte is more expensive than parking it at Greensboro. And so you also have to take that into consideration as well. So if it's significantly cheaper, I will take the drive in order to get a better flight at a better price. But with this particular vacation, I actually found a really good Greensboro flight. Now, I did have layovers, which is another tip. I don't mind layovers. I know there's some people that's like, oh, I just want to go nonstop straight through, you know, whatever the case may be. Yeah, that's cool. But if I'm gonna spend a significant amount of money doing nonstop versus a layover, I'll choose the layover because I don't mind that. One thing that you can also work in if you're doing a trip is that, you know, you can pick a layover that may be overnight if you want to explore whatever city you're in or what have you, and then you can get two trips in one. So keep that in mind as well. Sometimes layovers are a good thing. So one more thing about flights that I also do is usually I fly with Delta, American, or United, wherever I go. And so I have points built up with all three of them. So with this trip, I looked at, you know, after I did my search on Google Flights, I found who was the least expensive. I also checked my points and seeing if it was better to get it with points or get it with money. It depends on, you know, a lot of different factors, but check that out as well, because sometimes it might be cheaper to just buy the points and do it with points versus doing it with cash. So I've actually gotten free flights. Like for instance, when I went to FinCon last year, that was free just because I had enough points saved up. So don't forget about your points. I used to be in a bad habit of forgetting about my points, whether it's flights or hotels and stuff. Make sure you check on your points and see if you have enough to get whatever it is that you're trying to do. So make sure you add that to your accommodations and flight research. So we've talked about accommodations. We've talked about flying. Let's talk about activities. So like I said, my budget was about $1,500 or so. And I know that I'm staying for like 10, 11 days. So I was like, okay, I already knocked out the flight. I knocked out the accommodations. I still have about $1,000 left. So then I divided that out by the amount of days that I was going to be there. And I came up with about $100 or so that I could spend a day. Now, some days I didn't spend $100. Cool. That rolled over to the next day. And then that helped me with other things. So like, for instance, when I went parasailing and I went to the Blue Hole, which is like really nice mineral water. Oh my gosh, y'all gotta go. But doing all those activities, some of them were a little more expensive, some of them were less expensive. So that's why I said it's good to have a number in mind. And that way you can have fun on your vacation without thinking about, oh my gosh, bills when I get back, you know? So that's why, y'all, I'm telling you, budgeting is your best friend. So anyway, I stay away for the most part. I stay away from tourist hotspots because they're usually more expensive. They know people want to go, and so they charge you out the wazoo. So for me, I like doing what the locals do as well. And so a lot of my spending or going out and doing activities was at like local rivers or local falls or going out, you know, enjoying the local nightlife, you know, that type of thing. And so that helped me save money as well. Now, don't get me wrong. I love a good tourist hotspot too. Like for instance, in the Grill, you know, got to go to Rick's Cafe. I did actually jump off the cliff this time. I was scared as heck the first time, but I did do it this time. And also they just have a really good, fun atmosphere. So I don't mind, you know, some tourist hotspots, but for the most part, I kind of stay away from those. Also, another thing to think about. So going back to the accommodations, let's talk about eating, right? So since we had an Airbnb, we had a kitchen. And if we have a kitchen, we can cook some food at home just like we do at the house. So that also saved us money too, because we wasn't eating out all the time. We wasn't on a resort or in a hotel where we had to eat their food, which is usually overpriced. We stayed at an Airbnb, so we had a kitchen available to us. So we went grocery shopping a few times. And y'all, let me tell you, another thing is you may can get locals to cook for you. So in our situation, we have friends down there, but also you can hire locals to cook for you as well. And so we had some people cook for us, and the food was amazing. We cooked ourselves. The food was amazing. I did not have a bad meal while I was down there, y'all. And don't get me wrong, I did eat out occasionally. And when we did eat out, we just went to the local vendors. We pulled up, you know, in Jamaica, they usually have vendors with their carts and stuff out. And so we just pull up. You might be in the car and be like, oh, pull over, let's get some jerk chicken, or pull over, let's get, you know, that type of thing. And the food is so amazing. So that's why I'm like, you know, kind of think outside of the resort living, outside of, you know, just going to restaurants. The street vendors were amazing. The food was amazing. And it also helps the local community. So just think about that as you're traveling as well. And it was cheaper. I can't tell y'all how many coconuts I had. I love coconut water, and getting it fresh was amazing. They had fruit vendors, just all types of vendors. So it's just really awesome when you kind of immerse yourself in whatever culture you're going to. So another thing is currency. So if you're traveling internationally, so one piece of research I did before I left was looking at, if I change my money here, would it be more beneficial than changing it there? Now, luckily, like I said, I know people down there. And so they were like, oh, we can get better rates down here. So that's what I did. But do not just go with your home currency. So speaking specifically about Jamaica, depending on where you're going, so what store you're at, what vendor you're using, whatever, they all have different rates for how they change over US money. And so it's good to have both currencies on hand, because then you can ask them, okay, how much would this be in US? How much would this be in Jamaican? And you can make that choice, right? So that's what I highly recommend. Just keep both on you, because in some instances, it was better to use the US money. And in some, it was better to use Jamaican money. And so just keep that in mind. If you're traveling internationally, try to have both on hand just to see what would be more favorable for you. Now, like I said, it's always great to have a guide if you are going on an international trip or knowing someone there, because they can give you the hookup as well and let you know what's what. And so, like I said at the beginning, if you are thinking about going to Jamaica at all, anywhere in Jamaica, really, let me know, because I can get you in contact with some of my people down there. I had a ball. I truly enjoyed all the sun, the beach, the water, just everything was a vibe, and I cannot wait to go back. So thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Money Talk with Tiff podcast. Hopefully these travel tips will help you as you're thinking about your next vacation. When I was having this discussion with my friend last night, she was like, "What? So you mean to tell me that's all you spent?" You know, I was down there for quite some time, almost 2 weeks, y'all. And I stayed within my budget. So really start thinking about what type of travel you can do with the budget that you have. Not saying that there's anything wrong with domestic. I love domestic travel. I've been to so many states. I think I was at like 30 something or 40. So I've done a lot of domestic travel. So don't get me wrong. Love that too. But also think with the budget that you have, what type of international travel you can do as well. I love traveling internationally. It's an amazing experience, and it allows you to see stuff outside the US. How are other people doing things? And honestly, I'm like, I really just want to move. I saw a post on social media and it was like, the new American dream is to leave America. And I feel that wholeheartedly. So anyway, I'm going off on a tangent. Hopefully these tips do help you with your future travels. So thank you so much for listening to this episode of my 2024 travel tips. And hopefully I'll see you out there somewhere, you know, traveling as well. Now, if you, like I said, if you want your question answered on the podcast, go to www.moneytalkwitht.com/asktiffany, and I'll be more than happy to answer for you. If you enjoyed this episode, please don't forget to like, subscribe, share, leave a rating and a review. All of these things really help the podcast grow, and other people like you can find us and get these gems as well. So I hope you all have a wonderful rest of your week, and happy birthday, Pisces. We the best. Bye.
Thank you for listening, joining, and being a part of the Money Talk with Tiff podcast this week. You can check Tiff out every Thursday for a new Money Talk podcast. But if you just can't wait until next week, you can listen to previous podcast episodes at moneytalkwitht.com or follow Tiff on all social media platforms at Money Talk with T. Until next time, spend wise by spending less than you make. A word to the money wise is always sufficient.